Welcome to the podcast of Scott Street MB Church. We hope you find this message inspiring and encouraging in your walk as a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. So as a board and a staff, we felt that it was important to start the new year off by looking at the mission statement that we as a church came up with several years ago. The mission statement that you can find once again on the back of our bulletins. The mission statement that the board took time back in November to discern if these statements still resonated with us as a church. It quickly became evident that God was still placing this call on us. Last week, Sabrina shared the definition of mission as an important assignment to be carried out and said that if we believe it, then it is important for us to be clear about what that assignment is, so that we can make sure that we are working towards accomplishing it. Our mission statement says, "We are a loving family that embraces the good news of Jesus and shares it with everyone." Within that mission statement, we felt that there were three main ideas that really stood out and defined who we are at Scott Street, who we see ourselves as being or desiring to be. We at Scott Street Church are a family. We love God, and we love others. Last week, we focused on the first part. We are a family. That we are the children of God, sons and daughters of the King, brought together in community. As Sabrina said, that was the beauty of the church. How we, who are all different, are all one in Christ, and we all belong to each other. We are all essential to the healthy and whole functioning of the body. She shared examples of how we truly can be a family to each other and how we express that in action and deed. For our time together this morning, I want us to look at the second part of that mission statement, loving God. Now, I can talk about this from many different perspectives, such as why should we love God? How do we demonstrate God's love to others? Or how can we show our love to God? And it is that last point that I want to focus on. How do we, as followers of Christ, express our love to God, both as individuals and as a community of believers? Now, loving someone is more than an infatuation. It's more than a feeling, as some would say. When you first fall in love with someone, it is generally all about feelings. There was something that attracted you to them. Maybe it was the way they made you feel when you saw them. Maybe it was the way they made you laugh. Maybe it was the attention they gave you. Maybe it was something you had in common, and from there a friendship developed. But at some point it clicked. There was something more, and at that point you did everything you could to be with that person. In the good old days, you talked to them on the phone for hours on end. Today, you would text constantly. And as you spend more and more time together, you came to the realization that there was no other. No other person that you would want to commit your life to be together, for better or worse. And you took the bold step of asking for their hand in marriage or accepting their hand in marriage. Now, for those of you who are not married, this may not resonate in the same way, but friendship develops in a similar manner. You come together with another person through common interests and goals. You meet them at school, at work, or at church. You begin to spend a lot of time together. You share the same taste in music, games, sports, and eventually you become best friends. But where does it go from there? You say you are friends or you're married, but what's next? What about the next 10, 20, or even 50 years? Can you rest on that initial friendship or courtship or commitment? Certainly not. And so it should be with our relationship with God. Now, from the scriptures, we know that God is living and active and personal and wants to be in a real relationship with us. And yet we cannot see him or interact with him in the same way you can with a physical person. This may make it hard for some of us to know how to reach out and connect with him. And yet we can take similar principles to the ones that we use in other relationships, like friendships or marriages, and apply them to our relationship to God. At some point in most of our lives, we had a clear and definitive encounter with God. At some point, you felt God's love for you. It was tangible. It felt like nothing you had ever felt before. For some, it was a gentle tugging. For others, it came through a lifelong search. And for others, it's as if you were hit by lightning. And one day you made a choice. You invited Jesus into your heart and made a commitment to follow God. Many of you can think back on when that happened, when you first made that commitment, the first time you said, "I do," to God. Just like you can remember the first time you met your best friend, or the first day you met your boyfriend or girlfriend, the day you became engaged, the day you were married. But as we all know, it does not end there. It cannot stop there. What would a relationship look like if only one partner could continue to develop the relationship? And you just said to yourself, what more do they want? We got married. Check that off my list. Mission accomplished. Yet sometimes we have a tendency to treat our relationship with God in just such a manner. We ask Jesus into our heart, commit ourselves to following him, and then put our relationship on pause. Sure, we come to church once a week, but beyond that, what do we do? So what does it mean to truly love God? How do we continue on beyond the initial I do phase? In Mark 12, Jesus echoes the words that Lauren read this morning from Deuteronomy, when a teacher of the law came to Jesus and asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." What exactly does it mean to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And in Paul wrote in Philippians, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." So how can we show God that we treasure him and that we love him with our whole being? What does it mean to actively love God and pursue him? To develop and work on a relationship with him? To continually know him better? To answer that, I would like to borrow an idea from author Gary Chapman, who wrote the book about relationships called The Five Love Languages. In his book, Chapman looks at some of the key ways in which we receive and express love. Just like God has created each one of us differently, with different personalities and different skills, we all have a preferred way in which we feel and receive love. Chapman goes on to say that we should not just show love to another person in the way we want to be loved, but rather we should seek out how the other person receives love and try our best to love him in that way. Since we are all created in the image of God, and if we believe in this mission statement of being a loving family who loves God, could the idea of the different love languages serve as a starting point as to what it could look like to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength in real and practical ways, both as individuals and as a church body as well? Looking through the Bible, we see many examples of how God receives and desires our love in many different ways. And though this is not an exhaustive list by any means, the love languages that I want us to look at this morning are words of affirmation, quality time, giving gifts, and acts of service. So what does it mean to love God through words of affirmation? Words are important. Affirmation means to express affection, praise, or appreciation to someone. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." Praise is not something we do, but rather something we say. It is something we express. Just pick up the Bible and turn to the Psalms. They are a collection of early poems and hymns, In these pages, we see example after example of David and other songwriters praising God. When looking at the Psalms, it becomes clear that praising God with our lips, the words we say, is part of showing our love to God. Psalm 92:1 declares, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High." And in Psalm 68, "Sing to God, sing in praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." When we gather on Sunday mornings and sing songs of praise and worship to God, we are demonstrating our love to God, offering words of affirmation through song. I am reminded of such songs as, "Great is thy faithfulness, how great thou art, praise God from whom all blessings flow, good, good Father, 10,000 reasons." All are songs specifically written to extol the glory of God and praise him for who he is. Remember, when we worship, it is not the music that's important. Styles change, but rather it's us using words to give praise to God, recognizing and acknowledging the truth about who he is, our Creator and Lord. How beautiful it must be to God to see us all gathered here together in unity, singing praise to him, corporately acknowledging how great and awesome he is. We can also affirm God in our quiet moments. When we pray to our Heavenly Father, don't just make it about a list of needs, but take time to thank him for his faithfulness and for his love for who he is. Even when we face trials and burdens, which all come our way, remember that the Lord is good and that his love is everlasting. That is why we love God. But our praises to God should not be confined to just when we are in church or in our own quiet time, but should happen when we speak to others as well. Our love for God should be clear in the way we talk about him and the fact that we do talk about him. It would be pretty strange if you never talked about your spouse or your children or to others, or that people didn't even know that they were a part of your life. How much more so with God? Yet sometimes it's all too common for friends and acquaintances to not even know that we believe and follow God. Don't hesitate to let others know how important God is to you and what he has done for you. Quality time is another way that we can show our love to God. When you want to know someone better, you spend time with them, not just superficial time in front of the TV or just occupying the same room together. Quality time means giving someone your undivided attention. It takes a commitment to set aside time free from distractions and focus on someone. You cannot hear God's voice when you are distracted by the world. So how can we, when we gather together, spend quality time with God? Well, quality time involves active listening. When we meet together, whether during family life hour or listening to God's word being preached, we are digging deep into the word of God. We are getting to know God better. Through dialogue and discussions with fellow believers, we gain a better insight into who God is. Quality time also occurs in life groups or Bible studies, like the women's ministry that just started up a few weeks ago. More than 30 women have committed to meeting every Tuesday in order to spend time learning about God and how to live a life as God intends. What a wonderful example of community and loving God. As individuals or as families, you can spend time in devotions. This could happen in the mornings, before the busyness of the day gets in the way, around the supper table, or in the evening as you reflect on the past day's events. Even Daniel, in disobedience to King Darius and the threat of being thrown in the lion's den, went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. Getting down on his knees, giving thanks to his God, just as he had always done. And Jesus, God's own son, clearly found it important to spend time talking with his Father. The Gospels are filled with examples of Jesus going off on his own to pray, like the one in Mark 1:35, where we see that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place and prayed. You can't find anyone who is more closer to God than Jesus, yet he still made the time to be alone with him. So I encourage each one of us to find time in our busy schedules to intentionally set time aside to be alone with God. It is when you spend time in the presence of God that he will make known the path of life. Time with God is not only about praying and being still, but also about immersing yourself in Scripture. Psalm 1 encourages us by saying, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit with the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." Quality time with God is not only a way to demonstrate to God our love for him, but a prime way that God communicates with us, and a way for us to get to know him better. A loving relationship is not a one-way street. It is not about being with God and talking only about yourself, but giving him an opportunity to speak to you. It is a chance to be silent before God and listen to what he has to say. For as Paul wrote to Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." A third way that we can show God we love him is through the giving of gifts. Gifts show a person that they are special, that they are important to you. It takes sacrifice to give of your money and of your time. Just like with quality time, spending your money on someone other than yourself can be difficult. But that is usually not the case when you love someone. Couples spend their money on such things as flowers and chocolate, going out to dinner or going on vacation. Children love gifts, whether it is getting a gift when a parent has returned home from a trip, or just going out to the mall and coming back with a new book or a new toy. And there is nothing a parent appreciates more than a present from their children that was thoughtfully picked out or made. God made the ultimate sacrifice when he gave us the most precious gift of all, his Son, who died on the cross for our salvation. Why then do we hesitate to give gifts to the one who loves us so unconditionally? Why is it so difficult for us to spend our money on God? Or should I rather say, why is it so difficult to give our money to God? It is actually because of him and his blessing on us that we have the money that we can give back to him. We can show God our love by the tithes and offerings that we bring. In the Old Testament, David's desire was to build a temple to God. Though it was his son Solomon who eventually built the temple, it was during David's reign that the materials were gathered. This passage in 1 Chronicles 29 is a beautiful example of a people coming together in unity to give out of their resources to God as a demonstration of their love. Listen to what it says starting in verse 6. "Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the Lord in the custody of Jeiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have willingly given and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." Pretty soon, we will be approving the budget for the coming year. Though giving to a budget may not seem as grandiose as giving towards the building of the great temple of Solomon, we are giving to God's house nonetheless. The budget we approve is a way we show God that we want to do his work here at Scott Street. We all call Scott Street Church our home because we believe God has given us a unique calling that we are here to fulfill at the corner of Scott and Vine. The tithes and offerings we give each week to the work here at Scott Street is a wonderful expression of our love for God. It says, "Hear God, I give back to you what was never mine to begin with. Use it to further your kingdom here on earth. Whether it is for the heat in the building, a gym for our youth to play in, for the seniors to eat in on Wednesdays, whether it is to pay for the staff who work here, or just to have the lights on and the photocopier working, whether it is to feed the children in Haiti, or support the work in Thailand and Burundi, I believe that every dollar we freely give back to God is a way that we show love and honor to him, and to withhold this gift to him is as hurtful as us not giving gifts to the people we love." 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Oh, that we would give generously as a church and believe in this promise that we will reap generously. Another gift we can give to God is ourselves. This may be the hardest one of all. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." As Andrew Bernhardt said, "When you give yourself, everything else that you have is included. This takes a lot of commitment, because when you give yourself to God, for him to use as he sees fit, you have to continually keep giving yourself to God. When you truly give yourself to God, you don't provide stipulations on how your gift is to be used. You let God decide. It would be wrong for us to tell someone we give a gift to how they are supposed to use it or spend it. So too with God. When you offer yourself to God, you are allowing him to use you as he sees fit." Now, I won't lie to you, this can be scary. Our human tendency is that we like to be in full control of our own lives. But remember that God is good and faithful, and he created each one of us uniquely and with a purpose. In Ephesians 2, we read, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It is when we offer ourselves up to God and live in full obedience to him, that's what shows God we love him, and then we'll experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about. The fourth love language is acts of service. Service is about putting our love into action. We can say that we love someone, we can praise them, we can shower them with gifts, we can spend quality time with them, but when you truly love someone, you will also put these words into action. The best endorsement for this demonstration of loving God is the book of James. In James, we find a clear discussion of what it means to truly live out our faith. James 2 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." James is not saying that deeds save us, but that deeds are a result of our faith and outpouring of our love to God. Just like it is not our deeds that make us married or not, or friends or not. What better way to indicate to the world around you that you love someone, that you believe in them, than by the way in which you serve that person? Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The love the Savior is describing is an active love. It is demonstrated through simple acts of kindness and service. The idea of loving someone or others will be expanded on next week, but let me just suggest a few ways that we can show we love God by our acts of service to others. First, service begins at home. When we serve each other at home, we develop a culture of love. How we treat our spouses, how we interact with our children or brothers and sisters, it is in these moments that we are loving God. From the home, loving kindness and service extends to the church. The way in which we talk to each other and serve each other on Sundays or help out during our weekly kids programs shows we love God. From home to church to the world around us, our actions and deeds show God that we are serious about Him and following His teachings. There are many opportunities here at Scott Street to be involved, whether it is reaching out to the community at Old Pine Trail, sitting with a stranger at Chat and Chew, writing to someone in the mailbox club, teaching English to the newcomer, making a quilt for someone halfway across the world. Our willing service shows God that we love Him. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, we read, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." God is love, and He made us in His image. We were created as beings who love. Despite anything we do, God's love for us never changes. But when we intentionally choose to show God that we love Him, an interesting thing happens. When we spend time loving God, whether it is through praise and affirmation, through quality time, through the giving of ourselves and our resources, through serving others, when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, it is not God's love that increases. His love never fails. Rather, it is our love that grows exponentially. The more that we learn how to experience God's love and love Him in return, the more we will want to be a part of His kingdom here on earth, and the more that we do for Him and His kingdom, the more we will want to do. So just like our earthly relationships cannot stagnate and remain the same, so too our relationship with God must intentionally deepen. And just like there is not one specific way to love people here on earth, there is not just one way to love God. Nor should we ever be content to just pick one way. In what ways can we, as followers of Christ, show God that we love Him this year? What are some ways that we, as a church family, can show God that we love Him, and how can we grow in our love for Him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for making us a family. I thank you for bringing each one of us from all our various backgrounds together in a community. Lord, I thank you that it is Christ that binds us all together. I ask that you would work in us this week, Lord. May we reflect on the different ways that we can show love to those around us, and especially in ways that we can love you this week. And Lord, I'd like to just echo the song that we had at the beginning and make it my prayer for this week. Take my life, take my moments, take my hands, take my feet, take my love, and take myself. Amen. Thank you for listening. For any questions about the message or to contact any of our pastors, please visit scottstreetchurch.ca.